You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I'll let Bobby Warsaw tell me how I did it.
I think he's the philosopher of football.
I'd like to have some more derbies.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I like it. I liked it a lot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS studios in Midtown Manhattan. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Matt Doyle, David Goss, Kaylin Carr. Happy Monday, guys. Big Monday. How you feeling? You a little withdrawn? You need something to jack you up, to get you started here? No? Yes? It seems like it. Silence. This is a podcast. You can all speak.
Well, you're speaking. We don't want to jump out. Apparently, I interrupt in bad spots, so I wanted to give you your space.
Oh, is there a story behind that?
No, we have just emails, you know, from, I guess, friends of the show, mayors of bagel shops in Cranford, New Jersey and stuff, who are complaining.
Where's Cranford, New Jersey?
It's off the end of the world.
All right.
Yeah, nobody needs to know about that. Here's what
it's basically
here's
Florida.
What it is. We're going to get
complaining about you?
No, just saying. It's out
there. We'll get to that. Ola Kamara, Young Grey Goose, Rendell Leal. We have interviews with them from L.A. coming up to break up this show. We've had BWP, who signed with the defending Supporters Shield winners, LAFC. We thought he left camp. He did leave camp, and we thought that was the end of it, but it wasn't the end of it. So, yeah.
What did we think of the announcement? Because everybody knows the famous, you guys are all wearing hats, so you could all do look, you've been signed by LAFC. Do the old announcement.
Just heads up.
Look up. Yeah. Right.
Well, they flipped it. They switched it on this one.
They flipped it. Yeah. And now the hat was on the ground next to him.
So you are very amazed by what is just reversing the video. He dropped the hat. Just reversed the video, and then the hat comes up to his hands.
That was amazing.
Okay. What type of sorcery is this?
Yeah. Whoa. Somebody reversed this video.
How do we think it compares?
The hat raise was a little played out on its own, so you have to do the next thing.
Always got to do the next thing.
Got to keep it fresh.
Can't keep doing the same thing.
If you're on the cutting edge, if you're LAFC, if you want to stay ahead of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. So if you're the Galaxy, how do you respond to this?
You don't.
You don't.
Okay. No. You just point at the single star on your chest. Right? Oh, well. Look, I saw a video just now.
Mm-hmm.
Swedish producer Anders alerted me to it.
Producent.
Yeah.
Producent.
Yeah. Neymar interviewed by David Beckham, and Neymar says that he already has a deal with Beckham to come to Inter Miami. Now, they were yucking it up and laughing.
That's the YouTube title now. That's the headline of the website. How many articles can we get out today? What are you guys even doing here? You guys should be writing right now.
Okay, Neymar's 28.
Kaylin Carr says, after the American Firmino leaves FC Dallas, Neymar comes in.
I'm so pissed that didn't get picked up, by the way. I fully gave the opportunity right there on a platter to be like, Jesus Ferreira is America's Firmino,
There was a Firmino already, and he's in LAFC.
So that headline was taken. Yeah. You can't do two in a month.
Right. You gotta lay off Firmino.
Wait on,
Firmino only plays once. Neymar, that plays forever.
Okay.
Neymar and Inter Miami. He's 28. PSG has been hit or miss at times. Would that be something you're interested in?
Sorry,
if you have one DP slot left.
Scenario?
I don't know.
Is this year?
Nah, this is let's say it's next summer.
So I would say any time. Yes.
Oh, he said in 10 years?
Yeah. I'd say anytime, yes.
He said in 10 years.
I don't think it's going to happen this year.
Weeby's on it, though. Weeby's going to... Oh. How many pieces of Neymar content will Weeby produce by 2030?
David Beckham asked him to sign a blank sheet of paper, and then he would put the contract around it, so Bex could just write it however he wants.
Bex.
Yeah, that's how we talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a David, part of the union,
right.
We go short.
Fellow Davids. Okay. Let's talk about a player who actually was signed. Pablo Piatti.
Wait, you don't want to talk about Neymar more? I feel like we haven't really dug into this.
Dude, I got my headline.
My issue is this.
That thumbnail hit YouTube?
But here's my issue.
Neymar's smiling face. Probably Beckham next to him, if I'm being honest.
I'm being honest, you already have Lewis Morgan. So where does Neymar fit into the lineup?
Is he ready to fight for his spot?
Yeah.
I mean, with Juan Agudelo going to break out this year.
Yeah, swags.
That's the deal. So, Pablo Piatti is a designated player. He's played for a long time in La Liga. He's been a little bit hurt recently, but Toronto FC have got their third DP spot filled. he's on the wrong end of 30, but actually I think for Toronto FC, maybe it's the right end of 30. Like, they got to go get somebody in their prime.
What does the wrong end mean? Like, wouldn't that be 30?
It's where I am. It's
right
where,
side and wrong.
It's where all of us are except for
you're
you,
saying
I believe.
Closer to this. Sorry.
He's
saying,
over 30.
Yes, he's 30 or older.
So you think that they set a floor like that? They're like, oh, we can't. 25. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Young players don't fit into this team.
You meant wrong side. You said wrong end.
Literally what I just said.
Yeah.
Well, he's got some injury.
I can't hear you because I interrupted you.
He's got some injury issues as well, too.
He has, yeah. He had an injury with his knee a year ago. Look, this makes sense to me in the sense that they need like another attacking piece. This guy can play left wing. He could play potentially up top or maybe like behind Josie. You don't know. Josie might get hurt. And they're in a title window. Michael just re-upped with him on TAM, but re-upped for a number of years. Josie, paying him a lot of money, just re-upped with him last year. Pozuelo just signed him. He's in his prime. I get you could go get a younger player. You could say, okay, we'll bring you on. This feels like end of the window. We got a deal. Reportedly a one-year contract with an option. Let's just keep our title window going. Let's try to maximize what we're doing.
You also have to remember, they signed Gallardo last year, who's 20, and they believe has a good future. And they have some young pieces on the wings in Akinola, in Schaffelberg, that they think have a future as well. So it actually goes into, yes, title window now, but also we're not going to block this spot
Gallardo's
forever.
23.
Sorry. But still, a young player that they saw nothing from last year that they think is going to be a lot better this year.
Is
but
that the right side of 30? Right.
He's not that young. At some point, like, why did you sign him? He's going to be 24 next month. Like,
oh, so
and
now
they
we're
signed
just
him on
bash Erickson guy.
No, I'm saying, like,
he's not even on the team.
Yeah,
he's gone.
I'm saying, you're talking
about Benintendi.
I don't super understand the Piatti signing.
There? Yeah.
Okay.
So there, and he's going to be a productive player. They saved a DP spot on Michael Bradley, so you bring in a guy here where it's just plus at that point. It doesn't need to be someone who's the center of your team. You have that in Josie and in Pozuelo. You need to replace what Benintendi gave you. And you wanted a little bit more, and Vanney has always talked about he wants guys who can create 1v1 on the wings, guys who will stretch the field wide, beat their defender. They have always looked for that over and over again.
Let me ask you this. What happens if Josie gets hurt again? Josie's played 2,000 regular season minutes, I think, once since he's been back with Toronto.
Well, they did go to MLS Cup without Josie, right?
It's fair. They did, but they had Michael healthy in that one, and they had a lot of luck.
But imagine you have Josie, and then you add in Piatti as
well. For sure. I'm sure that's what they're imagining.
Right.
But, like, you kind of have to game plan this roster for half the time, at least, we're not going to have Josie Altidore.
Should you probably also game plan it for perhaps not having Pablo Piatti? Because he hasn't played 2,000 minutes since 16-17.
Yep.
The first year he was with Espanyol. He played 53 over the course of this season.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's moving, because he needed an opportunity. That's probably why he's signing a deal that's so short-term at his age, because he needs to prove, once again, that he is a player that can be relied upon, that he can be given another contract. So, I mean, that's the risk for him. That's the gamble for Pablo Piatti. And if you're trying to see, you got to like that he wants to make that gamble. They didn't come in and say, no, I need 3 years.
They also didn't have to pay a transfer fee.
Correct.
That helps.
Sure, but if you're him, if I'm Pablo Piatti and I'm saying, and you're Toronto and you're like, oh, we don't have to pay a transfer fee, I'm like, well, then you better give me some security. Like, you don't have to pay on the front end, so pay me on the back end, because I have this reputation, I have this ability. You clearly need a player like me. So I think for both sides, clearly Piatti bets on himself. Toronto bets that he might bet right, and if he does, maybe they're back in MLS Cup. I don't know. It's very silent, though, their MLS Cup runners-up defense. Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't really talked about Toronto hardly at all this offseason, other than briefly about Josie Altidore maybe leaving.
Because they did a lot of their work last year. They brought Omar in midseason. They brought my guy Erickson Gallardo in midseason. He's going to blow up this year, I'm thinking MLS Best 11. But they did a lot of that work, on top of the fact that the team's fairly established. They don't really have to move many pieces. They brought Westberg in last year. He's the starting goalkeeper. There wasn't really a lot to do if Josie's healthy. If Josie's not healthy, then they're still in trouble. And that's kind of something that they were never going to get around, because they extended his contract last year. So all of the noise has been Josie complaining about strength and conditioning coaches and stuff like that
which, so far, in the offseason.
Yeah, which
this
has gone
is
well.
Interesting, because this guy is going to need the strength and conditioning coaches and the training room as well, it seems.
But two, like, they've signed 3 homegrowns, I think, this year.
Yep.
2 full contracts, including a 15-year-old in Marshall Ruddy, which is wild to consider. But, you know, Alphonso Davies, the best player in Europe. So just keep doing what you're doing.
Homegrowns aren't allowed in the training room.
They're not?
No. That's the rule?
No, that's probably my days. Yeah, that's old school.
Get out of here. You don't need your ankle taped. Massage?
Get on that massage table.
How can I ask you, As someone who really enjoys now...
I thought you could say as someone who was injury prone.
That part too. But I now have the opportunity to have a weekly massage.
Dude.
How competitive is the massage table timeline in a MLS training room? Like, are people like, you know, Brad Davis is like, oh, get the hell out of here. If you think I'm not having my entire left leg just rubbed for the next half hour,
we're all going to leave Weeby on that one. Right,
honestly, silence. Brad was so good. I was like, let me help out. I can get on a calf or an ankle or something. That's a good question. But I do want to actually, you're making me think. Today is Ricardo Clark's birthday.
Yes. Wow.
Congratulations to Rico. Yeah. He's signing a 1-day contract with the Dynamo, which is going to retire on Wednesday. So,
which is the right way to do it.
Yeah. He's MLS or Houston Dynamo original. Two championships.
Arguably a top 5 D-mid in this league all time. And he's joining the staff, I believe. I think he's going to be a coach either with Rio Grande or maybe with the Academy.
I know he's been working with the Academy, in the offseason already since he's come back from
which
Columbus,
is great. So, yeah. Because if you're going to build that up, you need to, like, it's like building up your institutional knowledge and like intellectual property at this point. You put so much as a team into Ricardo Clark, and he gave you so much. Don't let that go to waste.
Also, his son is a baller. This academy, just off base, former Dynamo players with the Boniek twins and Rico's little guy. I mean, they're in good shape.
So who do you think will be better MLS in 2030? Neymar or the Boniek twins?
Oh, you got to go. You got double the power, man, and more star power. He's way more marketable. Gotta go, Boniek twins.
Do you think Oscar
That's
will still be playing
thumbnail.
When the twins
and
break
Neymar
through?
And What's Beckham?
That? Do you think Oscar or Boniek Garcia will still be playing, though, when they break through? Because at this point, it feels like...
I mean,
he's going Vince Carter, LeBron on this.
No, it's like, or the Griffey. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
That's the dream right there.
We have a running depth chart for all the teams in Major League Soccer. He is currently... atop the number 8 for the Houston Dynamo in the depth chart. He is, he's a treasure. All right, let's get to an interview here on the backside. We'll talk BWP and the new striker in Minnesota predicting 25 goals, which, you know, may or may not be a reach. Ola Kamara coming right up.
Fullbacks coming forward. Perhaps a bit more license with the game now down to Denver Tennis. Kamara tries to bend one! What an equalizer! In his first start for DC United, Ola Kamara has made it 1-1.
All right, 10 minutes with Ola Kamara of DC United. Ola, I want to talk about being a citizen of the world because I look at your resume, Norway, Austria, Germany, Norway, Austria, Norway, Columbus, LA, Shenzhen, now DC. Man, you've been all over. You've seen some things.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of cultures, man. So it's pretty cool. I mean, I have a kid that's 3 years old, and in those 3 years, he's been on 3 different continents. So that's pretty incredible. I think so. I mean, it's an amazing life, to be honest.
What do you, as a traveler, as someone who's working in those different environments, what's the perspective that you try to bring with you? Because people talk about having an open mind or, trying to tackle it day by day, but 3 different continents in 3 years, I mean, it takes a different mindset for that.
Yeah, I think when I was young, I thought I was right about everything, you know? But then as you see... different cultures, different countries, continents, as you say, then you understand that people think a little bit different than you and you're not always right. And for me, it's been cool to see how other people live, you know. But for me, to be honest, I like United States the most. it's pretty good here.
We will dig into that. What were you wrong about? What did you think you were right about that you were wrong about?
I mean...
or maybe not wrong. What have you learned? What are the lessons that you reflect on and think about?
I think it's just like the stigma of these, like, for example, Americans are like this, or this is how China is, for example. So, I mean, how we Europeans see the Americans is not the same as living here and experiencing Americans for yourself.
You know? I don't think I want to know how you see Americans, to be perfectly honest with you. Maybe we'll dig into that, maybe not. I want to talk about China. Tell me about the process leading up to you deciding to obviously take your family to China and to take your profession there too. How'd you make that decision?
Well, I think the offer was a very good one. Maybe it was simple, and I knew it was a very good city to live in. I had a Norwegian player that was there already that told me great things about it. So for me, it was kind of a total package where it felt right to go there. And after that, it didn't sort out to be the best transfer. But I mean, I'm glad I did.
What didn't work?
I think how the team played. The style of play wasn't right for me, and I also think for my family didn't enjoy the time that much, so they moved back after just 1 or 2 months. And then when you have a young kid, you want to see him grow up and be there. It's tough, you know. So for me, going back here was a good choice.
What was the thing that surprised you most about China? Maybe culture, maybe on the field.
I think, to be honest, like coming there and having robots greet you at the airport and like how far they come with their technology, that was, for me, unbelievable to see. And it was a cool thing to experience.
We always hear about not being settled. And family is such a big part of that, too. Mm-hmm. How does that change your life as a professional when your family's not there?
I think, you know, your overall happiness is very important, because I think especially as a striker too, you have to be very confident, you know, about yourself. And if you start doubting stuff, it kind of transparent to your game, you know. And I felt, especially in China, that was what happened. And I think I'm very comfortable here in the United States and in the league, and that's why it's been easier for me to play well here and score goals.
What do you like about the U.S.? You said it seems to fit you.
Yeah. I think it's just easy lifestyle, you know, and the way, the vibe of everything. And of course, I feel like I've been lucky with my teammates and how I've been welcomed, of course. But in general, I really like it here.
How about this? What is it like to be a number 9 who plays on a team with Zlatan?
For me, it includes a lot of running. But I mean, it was, of course, as I grew up, it was, Zlatan is one of your idols, you know. He's a big person, and he's a great footballer. So for me, it was amazing to have played with the guy, but playing with the guy was difficult, you know.
You could see that, not on the field, that he is such a massive personality, that he has such a sort of weight of expectations, that he demands so much from others that it may be sometimes hard to play with him. How did you find his personality within the team? Because we also hear behind the scenes, it's much different than on the field.
I think for me, he's a very funny guy. He's a cool guy in his way, but he's special. As you say, he's a demanding person. And I think it's not easy for everyone to be around a guy with that kind of winner mentality. So it's pros and cons.
What did you see in training from him that you have never seen before? Because I see the roundhouse kick goal against Toronto FC. You see the things he does in games. I often imagine what he's doing in training.
Yeah, I mean, most players in the world, I feel they have their skills that's pretty normal, but he can do stuff that nobody else can, you know, like especially where his feet can reach, you know. And it's also his technique and some of the offensive things, that vision that he has. It's of course on another level than everybody else.
The Galaxy have 5 stars on their chest. Your new club, DC United, has 4. It's a club with a lot of history. A big signing, Edison Flores. You were a big signing for them last year. Mm-hmm. This is now, in large part, your team to score the goals. Does that excite you?
It does, man. I'm very offensive for this season. I want to smash everything. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I like that, though. There you go.
I mean,
give us the sound.
I really want to score a lot more goals than I've done before now. And I want to prove myself, and I also want that extra star for my team. So it's an exciting year for me.
What have you envisioned for yourself for this team when you think about the addition of Yamil Assad with Flores coming in? What has been told you? What do you expect?
I think we were defensively solid last year. And now we're adding some offensive pieces that, for me as a striker, is very exciting, you know. So you have a lot of people that can give me assists, so I'm smiling these days.
No doubt. Give me one travel suggestion before we get you out of here, Ola. Where would you send me as a citizen of the world to experience something new, something different that I've never experienced before?
Ooh, Norway.
Where in Norway?
Kvitfjell, Norway. The mountains. It's go skiing. Go skiing there. It's okay. Unbelievable.
Okay. I'll tell our Swedish producer about that.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm just kidding. He's Norwegian. He's Norwegian. Ola Kamara, thank you.
Big year for Ola Kamara and DC United. How many goals do you think you got in him?
Ola?
Ola.
I'll set the over-under.
You've been doing this a lot.
Yeah, I'll set the over-under. 16.5.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm going to go over.
Brilliant. Unmatched.
Yeah. Me and Doyle are on the same wavelength. Yeah, right now.
The intellect between
we have
you
the same
two.
Just running
between
over
me.
Or under?
Over.
The right side of 16.5,
exactly.
You might say.
Exactly.
I'm going to put him at 18.
18.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay,
so
what do we
over.
Think? What do we think are the chances he goes over 20?
Not like great for me.
1 in 5?
All comps or just low. MLS?
Just MLS. Just regular season.
I wouldn't go over 20.
Okay.
I wouldn't go over 20. There's just a lot of unknowns right now with the attack and how it's all going to fit together.
For sure. But he's my, like, if you want to go, like, dark horse candidate to win the Golden Boot, it's Ola.
Does Ola take PKs for this team?
I assume so.
Flores will have something to say about it. But if the man's in the hunt for the Golden Boot, you let him take PKs.
You guys, he scored 3 goals last year in the regular season in 5 appearances for DC.
Yeah.
This dude scores goals.
And he kind of wasn't always playing as a center forward. And we know that with the Galaxy, he didn't play as a center forward.
And he still scored 14 goals.
Yeah.
He's going to score 20. Winger.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But I think that attack with Flores, Assad, Areola, whoever else they, because you know they're going to add another piece, I think they're going to generate a lot of chances.
Gressel?
Yeah.
Gressel, thank you.
Gressel's respect.
Like, sorry. I think they're going to generate a lot of chances, and we know that if Ola's in the box and getting a lot of chances, he can go in the back of the net.
He is going to score him. Another guy who does that and has also won a number of Golden Boots is Bradley Wright Phillips. He signed with LAFC. Dio got injured. We talked about that on the last show, and we were kind of like, oh, well, that's a bummer that BWP is no longer in camp. Maybe they knew all along they were going to do this. Maybe they saw what they needed to see, and it's like, hey, Bradley, you don't have to stick around and train. We don't know yet. We'll let you know, and then the injury happens. I don't know what the scenario is. I just am glad that this happens. We deserve good things in life, and seeing Bradley Wright Phillips play for Bob Bradley and for LAFC after what was – I don't know. What's the right word to describe last year with the Red Bulls?
Injured, disappointing,
listless.
Yeah,
just the wrong conclusion to that part of his career that was so special and that he had made so much of. And the Red Bulls had developed such a great relationship with both the fan base and the front office. So this signing, does he fit? How do they use him?
It's a pure number 9, man. Like,
is that the right fit in there?
I think so. I think because you want someone who does so much work off the ball, and BWP has always been incredible off the ball. Like, you want him to start dragging defenders around and making the defenders think about him, because that means they're spending less time thinking about Carlos Vela and Brian Rodriguez and Diego Rossi. And if they're not completely locked in on those guys, then every defense in this league would be in trouble. At the same time, they lock in too much on those guys. BWP is going to find that pocket of space. And I think one of the things that made it end so badly, that's the wrong way, but end sort of disappointingly with the Red Bulls, is the Red Bulls demand so much physicality from their center forward, from everyone, really. Not to say that LAFC doesn't, but it's a different level. And BWP is 35. And like he just kind of ran out of gas playing that style. This is different enough and more about using the ball than the Red Bulls were. I think he's going to find chances. And I think when he plays, he'll finish chances. And if you can get 1,500 minutes out of him, it wouldn't shock me if he put up 10 goals.
There's a big difference between playing, and no offense, Danny Royer, great guy, good player. Kaku, solid player, has not shown what we wanted. Sims, Mwil, Fernandez, Shakowski, like, that's not the type of attacking talent that LAFC has. I think if he's healthy and he's on the field, he is going to score goals. Either he will or he'll create that space for Vela and Rodriguez and Rossi, because he's going to be very, very sort of, I don't know what the right, I was going to say omnipresent, but he doesn't know what's going to happen before it does, but he understands how to move to create space for those guys. And if they have space, they're either going to put it on a platter or they're going to put it in the top corner. Yep. They did it last year with Adam. They did it last year with the revolving parts at center forward because Dio couldn't stay on the field. He's not going to be dominant the way Dio was, where sometimes he could just turn and go to goal and score, you know, sort of a like wipe your eyes, did that happen goal. But he's going to be efficient, and he's going to play in CCL. And he's been very good in CCL, and he's an underrated passer. I don't know. I think this is one of those signings where it's like, this is what's supposed to happen. A veteran nine whose time sort of ran out on a golden age of his career goes somewhere where he can reinvigorate himself, and I hope that happens. 10 goals?
10 goals. All comps?
All comps. I'll give you all comps.
I'll take that. I'll go over.
Yeah, sure. I'll take it. I think Matt hit the nail on the head about this, all what the Red Bulls demand of their number nines, because they ended up in some ways even sacrificing a little bit of his quality around goal for the pressure that the other guys could put on the back line. And at times when BWP in the playoffs, there were just so many times where they just relied on him so heavily to get him behind, and there really was nothing, no other options, and he often looked really frustrated. But as you get a little bit older, you really think the game a little bit more, and you need to, you want to play. I think he'll love playing in this system, and he won't be asked to do more than what he does best, which is to help combine here and there. He understands movement so well, so when he's in a crowded box or when things get complicated, he knows how to find those little gaps in the box. I think he's going to be really high ceiling and almost no floor just based on the type of person he is, and he basically proved that he's happy to come off the bench, or he handled it very well. I'm not happy, but very.
I mean, the way Red Bull staff talked about him last year, like Bradley Wright Phillips is a legend in this league. He lost his job to a not super highly regarded draft pick, and BWP was still showing up every day at training, working with the young forwards who were taking his job to make them better. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, not a lot of number nine, especially in front of number nine. They don't take that very well.
Is this a sign from Bob Bradley and John Thorington that we don't want Carlos Vela to even be in that conversation to play up top or false nine?
I don't think he's going to be really a starter. I think he's going to be a super
sub. You don't think, even when Dio's out. Dio's out for CCL. Yeah. Dio's out early on. You don't think he'll be
a
starter.
I don't think he's a full-time starter, no.
You push Rossi up.
Or you start Adrian Lopez or whatever it is you do. I think he'll be a guy who comes in when the game calls for it, and they have that option, which they didn't have last year and they didn't have on the roster. But I don't think this is a guy who's the permanent fix at that center forward spot. I think it's a way to get to Dio coming back and a way to manage Rossi and Vela up there, where it's like not everyone has to play here for 90 minutes week in and week out. It's another option in the rotation, but I don't think he...
I'm not saying he's penciled in starter without Dio. I'm saying he's probably the first name that you're thinking about so that the other guys are in the positions that you want them to be in, where they're more effective.
I think LAFC doesn't have a problem playing Vela as the nine. I think they proved that, because there were times where they could have started Diamande and they used Vela as the number nine and brought Diamande off the bench. So as much as I think Vela's better on the right, I think they've made the decision that they want their top players on the pitch, and even if they have to use them in different places. And Vela as the number nine, I think he can be effective there. I think I like him better on the right. I would put him there and pencil him in there and never even experiment him in the middle, partly just because of the risk involved of playing a player at that position.
You're getting kicked.
Yeah. But I think Bob and that staff feel comfortable playing him in the middle, and then they get Fernandez and Rossi on either side of him, and that's the way they get their best weapons on the pitch at once.
That's Bob Bradley just coming through.
I was gonna say, do we have like digital, you know, eavesdropping devices here? If you're watching on YouTube, you can see one of our monitors just going wonky.
Can I throw out there?
Microphone. We publish this for the world. Whoever's trying to listen right now.
July 19th at Red Bull Arena, LAFC versus New York Red Bulls.
He'll be starting that game.
Yeah, that is a cool opportunity for them to celebrate a player, as you said, who means everything to the Red Bulls, and he deserves it, and the club wants to do it. It's going to be fun.
So 10 goals was around where we landed on that one. We don't even have to set the over-under here for Minnesota's new striker.
He took Doyle's job. Luis, he came in. He said, who's this armchair guy?
25-goal promise from Luis on loan from Velez. He is We hope not, for Minnesota's sake, the next Victor Estupiñan. And if you don't get that reference, you got to go way back to like 2011 Chivas USA when Victor Estupiñan rolled into Major League Soccer and said, I'm getting 30.
Simon Borg's favorite ever player.
Simon loved that. Victor got one. I don't think that's the way this is going to go. What do you think about a guy, Kalen, rolling in first press conference, yeah, has had a he's
well
had
first
one good
what's
season.
Your favorite Victor Estupiñan memory?
I don't even know who that is.
Correct.
Where did he play?
Chivas USA.
USA. Oh. He played like 300 minutes.
Yeah, it was not.
I got 300 minutes for Chivas USA. In an off season, I went down to Guadalajara and played with Chivas USA against Guadalajara. This is a very different time, by the way.
When?
As like a guest player or something, playing for the Chicago Fire.
Oh, you were under contract and you went with Chivas USA to play Guadalajara.
Yes.
Was it like a Adidas event?
No, it was like a charity. It was a charity event for something. I can't remember. It was like a.
And the Fire were just like, cool.
Who was on your team?
You know.
Was it the Chivas USA team or was it a bunch of random dudes?
No, it was Chivas USA. I didn't have all their guns, but
so they got to pick any player in MLS to come join them, and they picked.
I drew a penalty. We drew 1-1 at the Estadio Jalisco. It was an awesome experience.
I mean, that sounds awesome.
It was a good time. And then I remember Martin Vasquez was running it because I don't think Bob was there. And Martin was like, make sure you go out tonight with the guys. And I was like, man, I'm in Mexico. This is a dream. It was my week with Chivas. It was amazing.
Tell us what you did that night out.
Honestly, I was hanging out with Justin Moose, and we went to a Hooters.
Whoa.
And just he was a goalkeeper at Berkeley.
What is happening?
And just had some wings, some casual wings.
All right, cool. What do you think now of Luis Amarilla making a 25-goal promise? It's ambitious. He says he's ambitious. They like that. Minnesota says we probably couldn't have got him a year from now because he would have scored more goals. And they have him on loan. They have the number that they would need to exercise to purchase him.
I wouldn't recommend it. I would go the way Joseph Martinez, who, by the way, you can lock in for 25 pretty much every year now, but he says he has a number written down, and he's like, I'm not sharing it. I think that's a better way to go about it.
Probably.
Also, I really want to know what his number is. It's probably like 40, Joseph? And every year he's disappointed.
27 and a half for Joseph, over, under.
I go under.
Is it all, it's not all comps. It's MLS, right?
MLS, regular season.
I go under.
I'm going under just on the odds.
Yeah.
I'm going over because I can't go against... I don't bet against Joseph Martinez as a rule.
Poor Luis Amarilla makes his 25-goal promise.
But when we go back to the goal promises and looking at BWP, I don't think the 10 number is really that important, because if you told me he gets one really important goal in Champions League, one really important goal in the playoffs, a couple really important ones in the regular season, and then he's really helped the group out overall. I think create space maybe for Carlos Vela, gets him a couple more goals.
Yeah, for sure.
That I think sometimes we get caught up in the numbers a little bit, or some of the strikers themselves, obviously, but I think that might be some... Yeah, I don't know. I think it's so important for his case. Maybe for this one, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, maybe this one is goals. Yeah. I mean, that's what you didn't get out of Angelo Rodriguez. He was sort of the hold-up guy, like big body, didn't really work. You move him, you move Darwin, in comes Amarilla, who's more, they say, of like a, you know, goal poacher, if you want to go to the cliche, more of a run in the channels, move in the box type of guy. Mason Toy is the other striker here that we're looking at. I know you're a big Mason Toy fan. I think generally we all are, hoping for more from him. So this is like to me, this is Heath and Watson and Minnesota United saying to Mason Toy, like, hey, we invested a guy that we think is pretty good. He thinks he's pretty good, too. He scored in his first preseason game.
Toy scored in that game, too. Yeah,
step up, man. Like, now, Toy also has Olympics, potentially maybe qualifying, and then maybe into the actual Tokyo Games. So that's where you start to see the cover.
You need depth. You need quality depth to win in this league. And I think that, from what I've seen and heard, Minnesota United really like Mason Toy, and it's up to him now to go out there and win the job. They showed last year that they're not afraid of benching a DP or two DPs. They're certainly not going to be afraid of benching Luis Amarilla, who is there on a TAM loan. Like,
if he pushes Toy, and Toy has a better season because he has to win his spot, then it's worth it. Yeah, especially on a loan.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have to trigger it. If he comes in and plays well and scores goals, boom, that's your guy.
Yep.
Like, you're fine either way. Angel Rodriguez scored 5 goals for you last year. If he comes in and trips on his feet, he could still equal what you were getting last year from Angelo Rodriguez.
Now,
there's very little chance that this goes poorly for you.
Can I just say that they benched DPs that weren't necessarily theirs? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And Heath and Watson, like, their decision-making, those were guys that maybe they wanted to move on from, so it's easier to put them on the bench and say, this isn't working. Move on. It might be harder with their guys. We shall see. Now, Adrian Heath also says the pursuit of Emmanuel Reynoso is, quote, advanced significantly. I still don't know what that means, whether this is going to happen. He's still not playing for Boca.
No, that he got in this weekend. Yeah, he got
in. He didn't start, though, right?
Correct.
He came off the bench.
He finished that game. Everything that I've seen reported, and they have really good local press up there.
I haven't seen anything in Spanish, though. Nothing from South America, which is a little worrying.
That's fair. But I think St. Paul's Pioneer Press, and what is the big paper out there?
Star Tribune.
Like, both of them reported that Chris Wright and Adrian Heath are all, like, optimistic this gets done. Our guy Jeff Reuter from The Athletic, he's saying the same thing as well. This would be a huge move.
It would.
The other thing that's interesting, he did come in this game, but Boca are 3 points off River at the top of the table. There's, like, 5 games left. So to sit him means you're legitimately working on a deal.
Yep.
Like, you don't sit a guy in a scenario like that where you're pushing for a title from your rivals if you're not about to sign something. You don't do, like, well, maybe this could happen, so we'll take
this
guy off.
There has to be some imminence.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, it's hopeful. Like, here comes Minnesota sniffing around. No, Minnesota is serious.
So that's the positive. Now, I pitched you last week, which I feel very strongly about, of, like, a European slow cop show of Mark Watson trying to get this deal done down in Argentina and just being like, excuse me, bien, do you know where I can find Emmanuel Reynoso?
Striker, midfielders, do you have them?
And just a slow play show that just casually
lots of suspense, a little bit of confusion, some campiness.
But really, really small stakes in the end.
I'm here for
not
it.
Saying the signing would be, just the way the show would run.
We're going to get another interview for you right now, Minnesota fans. You're welcome, because it's Jan Gregus with some fun notes on the Loons.
Laid back for Jan Gregus. Still hope. Still a slither of a possibility for Minnesota.
10 minutes with Jan Gregus of Minnesota United. Jan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, let's talk about your teammates a little bit. We'll get to you, I'm sure. I'm just going to ask you questions, and you give me your honest answers.
Okay.
Who is the funniest guy in the Minnesota United locker room?
Funniest? There are a few, for sure. But if he starts to do something crazy, it will be Romain, I think. Romain is kind of the crazy
Metanier guy.
That can do a lot of fun if needed, yeah.
What is the crazy? What does he bring?
His moves, his craziness, his... He doesn't know English at all, so so it's kind of like funny mix with him.
Who is the guy who thinks they're funny, but is not funny?
Me.
You?
No, I don't know. I don't know. When somebody tries to be funny, usually it's funny, but I don't know. I don't know, like this.
How about who controls the music in Minnesota's locker room? Metanier is breaking it down. Who's
music,
on the ones and twos?
It depends, I think. I think sometimes in the locker room after training, it can be Boxy or Romain again. But during the game, I think it's not one of the players. It's one of the staff members.
Staff members get the controls? How's that possible?
I mean, he's got some good music, Ryan Tushy. So
what's good music in your
Ryan
mind?
Something like
what gets you pumped up? You want to have something that's like,
it depends, of course. Everybody has his own kind of playlist. It can be anything. It can be rap, it can be, depends on the mood, I guess.
What's the mood that you would bring? I give you the aux cord, and I say, well, that's a dated reference. I give you the Bluetooth connection. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. I check if I'm connected. No, I don't know. Some reps or something like that, maybe. Depends. It can be also Slovakian. We have some good music as well. So Yeah, it
varies. What do I need to check out in Slovakian music? What's the music scene?
Was that again?
What should I check out if you were going to give me the...
Check out Kontrafakt, for example. That's kind of like the biggest rap group in Slovakia. Or Rytmus, the main rapper in the group. So you can check him out.
Is rap big in Slovakia?
He's kind of popular, yeah. He's kind of very popular in Czech and Slovakia. Everybody knows him, so you would like him, I think.
Okay, I'll check it out. I'll get on my Spotify after this.
Okay, yeah, he's there.
We're going on the field. It's 90th minute, tie game, free kick, top of the box. Who's taking it? You get to decide.
Mm.
Adrian Heath has no input here.
I will take it.
I
will take it, yeah.
Who will try to fight you for it?
Would be Darwin, probably, if he was still there. But now he's not, so I think I will take it.
So there's no competition? Jan gets it.
I hope there will be, because we need some... when the competition is there, it's good for the team. So it can be there, but I will take it on me.
Who's the guy who can challenge Ike Opara for headers? Can anyone?
Of course. Everybody can challenge him. Of course, obviously, we know that he's got some leap. Depends. Strong guys, I think, would challenge him good. If it's boxy or kind of the bigger guys, maybe me. I don't know. But I will probably win a lot of it.
All right.
Because of his moves and elbows and stuff. But he did good with, let's say, Ibrahimovic, for example, or some of the big guys. So good for him.
Have you enjoyed playing in Major League Soccer so far? What's the difference for you from what you've seen before in your career and what you've seen in Minnesota?
I enjoyed it a lot, to be honest. It was my first year and I didn't know what to expect. And now that it's going to be my second year here, I know how things are. And for sure, it has more quality than the leagues before. A lot of teams can fight for the first position. Like I said many times, in Czech League or Denmark, it was maybe 3-4 clubs that were fighting for the top of the table. And here it can be seriously everyone. Last team can be the first any given time. So that's what I like about this. You have to approach every game like it's the final.
Minnesota, does it feel comfortable to you? Does it feel like what you're used to?
Yeah, it's my home now, and I'm happy there. The winters are cold, but that time we are usually.
But the summers are beautiful.
Summers are amazing, man. Really, the summers are was really really top. But
did you make it out to a lake? Because that's what you got to do when you're in Minnesota,
no, the land
of lakes, man.
After trainings, maybe. Maybe check out my swimming pool or something like that in my building. So that was kind of the place I went to.
Loons fans, calling all Loons fans. Lake life. Jan needs to experience it. That's part of the Minnesota experience.
It can be, yeah. Maybe I'm going to do it now in a week when it's cold.
That's also part of the experience, right?
Yeah,
ice fishing, maybe?
Yeah, no. I'm not a fishing guy.
Okay. What is it about the lifestyle that you like? Because I hear for so many players who come to the U.S., mm-hmm. The soccer is number one, but the lifestyle is a big part of the decision to come.
To be honest, no. For me, okay, maybe some of the people will say to me, like, okay, you're going to love lifestyle and everything about it. But the first thing I said to them was, okay, I'm not coming for lifestyle. I'm coming for football. And all other things are on the second place. But if you want to talk about that, yeah, of course... Let's take, for example, NBA. I fell in love with the game when I came to US and got the opportunity to check it out from the court side, which I thanks guys from Minnesota to give me the tickets. But that is one of the things. Obviously, other things are to see a lot of nice places. Like here we are right now in LA. But
overlooking downtown LA, not bad.
Yeah, so that's nice. And many other things like traveling and stuff. But like I said, the most important thing for me is football.
Let's talk football then.
Okay.
How does Minnesota take a step forward this year? You mentioned signings. That part is obvious. We know that every team is reinforcing. Yeah. You need to do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, reinforcement will be there. Then just to be stronger every single game and to have that final touch. Like we had the opportunity to finish it, let's say, two times. One, the final last year, which we wasn't lucky enough to finish. And then the playoffs. That was our goal, but we need to set higher goals and go for them.
What are your personal goals? I know collective always comes first, but I know you have to also think about what you want to accomplish.
Of course, I set goals to my for myself as well, and it's coming out from the main part, and that is helping the team. If it's assist or goals or whatever or tackling, just there to help the team the most I can.
Who do you talk to around the league? Is there anybody around the league that you touch base with that you
like the players? Yeah. Or
is Albert maybe a guy like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I talk with Albert.
Rushnak, for those that don't know.
Yeah, Albert from Salt Lake. So, yeah, I talk with him, but not other guys so much.
Do you ever, in the national team, have guys come up to you and say, hey, what's going on?
Many, to be honest. Everybody want to come to U.S. And like a few months after I signed in Minnesota, like from my former teammates, they were like, okay, get me some ticket or something. I want to go as well. So it's kind of a hot place right now, MLS, and everybody want to join. But it's not as easy as it looks.
Player, agent maybe someday with all these guys coming after you? Nah, I'm messing with you, man.
Me? Oh, that's too far, but you never know what future holds.
Never know. Jan Gregus, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, man.
You know, I forgot to mention that they brought Luis Amarilla in on a day that they had an event where they played snow soccer outside Allianz Field, which was probably quite the introduction.
Did they lose 6-1?
Wow.
All right.
People never forget.
It took a half second for me to figure that one out. I think they did use the orange balls, though. No Atlanta United players there. So, news dump time. Let's run through it. There's a new young DP winger.
Can we just say that I do think Minnesota United owes something to FC Cincinnati for erasing their first season so immediately with FC Cincinnati? Because all Nashville can hear about right now, in Miami, but mainly Nashville, is FC Cincinnati this, FC Cincinnati that. It would have been Minnesota if FC Cincinnati didn't exist.
They got removed from like the lexicon of poor first seasons, poor being maybe an undersell there. Yeah. RSL, young DP winger to replace Jefferson Savarino. Jefferson is on to Atlético Mineiro in Brazil. It seems like they got back close to what they paid, but they got a good chunk of potential sell-on. So maybe that's a template for these deals in the future. The player is Jason Ramirez, comes from Táchira in Venezuela. Now, Savarino came from Zulia with kind of the same pedigree. He is 18 right now, 19 in March, just in case you're trying to do the math on the age there. He's a youth product of Táchira. He was made his professional debut at 16, 5 goals, 8 assists, and 50 appearances, and helped them qualify for Libertadores, but he did not play in Libertadores. So I have no idea. Haven't watched him, haven't seen him. Like a very RSL-esque signing. Get a guy young, let him develop, try to do what you did with Savarino, get some goals, maybe make the playoffs, and hopefully drum up some interest in the future.
They've got about 7 rolls of the dice on the wings right now of just like young guys where if he hits, great.
Yep.
And it's kind of what happened with Corey Baird, which is like there was minutes available, he took them, and he became like a key part of their team, and Savarino the same, and I think they're just laying it out there and saying we have a bunch of opportunities, and it'll be interesting because Freddy Juarez knows the guys out of the academy and the guys from USL better than obviously he'll know guys coming in, and he has a background with them. And we saw what that meant for Oscar Pereja in Dallas, the way he entrusted the players he knew as kids differently than players that came in. So it'll be interesting to see how Freddy Juarez handles this, but they've got, you know, a few players that won USL championships, a few homegrowns that they've signed out of college, out of high school as well. So it'll be interesting to see how those minutes fall out.
Is Douglas Martinez, he's a striker. He's not a winger.
He's a striker.
Like, they like him
number 9. Yeah. 17 goals, I think, in 25 games in USL last year. Something like that.
And if
like
he
that.
Hadn't gone to Pan Am, the Pan Am games for Honduras, I think he would have gotten minutes in MLS because right when Sam Johnson went down and it was kind of, they were missing a piece, that's when he was in South America for the Pan Am game.
And they still have Giuseppe Rossi in the in training camp.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Justin Miram, reportedly, Jeff Carlisle.
Yeah.
And I think Justin hit the Instagram stories and was like, where am I going? Could it be fun?
I mean, it makes the Rossi thing is he hasn't played in 2 years, so it, like it's a risk. But if you think about the way RSL have played over the past couple of years, they've actually been better as a team with kind of non-traditional number nines like either Baird or Demir Krylock playing that role rather than having a true number nine like Sam Johnson. So with Rossi, he's played as a center forward, but he's never actually been a center forward. So if he can, it's like the BWP thing. If he can give you 1,500 minutes, you know the skill is still there. It's a question, will the body hold up?
What are you trying to get from Justin Miram? Like, this is a return, I have to believe. I don't believe anything otherwise, to the wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he could, he could back up any of those three spots in the 4-2-3-1 on the three line. And if he suddenly, turns the clock back to 2017, he's not a backup, he's a starter.
All right, we will see. Jeff Reuter, we mentioned him. Shout out to The Athletic. He reported the purchase clause for our guy Loca, Jurgen Locadia, at $10 million. That's a lot of money. FC Cincinnati are changing the way that their club is talked about, to be honest, with their signings this offseason. Jared Niekamp getting things done. What would it take to trigger that, in your opinion, Kaylin? Alicia Rodriguez, by the way, says that Locadia would be her bet for bust this year in Major League Soccer. Like, big-time signing. That's her bust bet.
Speaking of Chivas,
yeah,
USA,
we might do. You know what? For our prediction show, we might do a bust bet.
Wow.
Mine's easy.
We won't do it. Save it. Who, me?
Just saying, dude. Okay. I thought you had a good year last year, so it's going to be hard for you to equal that.
I don't think you think that I had a good last year.
That's not true.
Yeah, you're twisting the narrative here. $10 million, what would it take?
I think a lot to not take it, because I don't think they would sign up for a price tag like that if they weren't feeling
pretty...
It'd be
like, 6 months and we're going to dip out
on it. Yeah, if they weren't feeling pretty comfortable about it. So I think he will get goals. I think he will change their attack. And I think as long as you see some progress towards that, I don't know if I want to put a number on a number of goals, but yeah. I think he's just going to change the whole picture of the way that attack looks, give them a real weapon up top. So I would be pretty surprised if they didn't take this $10 million fee on.
And a reminder, he sold for $20 million 2 years ago. That's not that far.
Yeah, but those 2 years were... They were.
Yeah, it didn't work out for him in the Premier League. There's a lot of really good players who it doesn't quite work out for in the Premier League. And, like, it didn't work out for Joseph in Serie A. And how much would you pay for Joseph right now?
Didn't work out for Dio as well. Another guy who played on the wing, came here, got to play center forward.
Josie was, like, legendarily bad in the Premier League. So, like, all that said, he's got to produce. Like, you know an elite striker when you see one. And I think they'll know pretty quickly if he's going to be worth eight figures.
And I agree, though, with Kaylin, which is the way you set this deal up, the way you went about it, with the intention to buy him.
Yeah.
So unless something glaring, whether it's injuries, personality, off-field, comes out in those few months, he's the guy you're building this team around. And Niekamp is smart enough to know you're not just going to go find another 26-year-old right out of the Premier League, borderline Dutch national team player for another reasonable deal to come to Cincinnati. Like, this is all worked out the way it's supposed to, and they expect... I don't think he has to score 20 goals in the first month of the season to get this done. He just needs to be on the path to being the guy they think he is, and then it gets finished.
All right, we'll see. That's a big storyline for FC Cincinnati. They're definitely changing the way that their club is talked about, thought of in Major League Soccer, and honestly, in the world now, to sign a player like this, Yuya Kubo, as well. And maybe they'll go get that number 10, maybe not. Timbers sealed a permanent deal for Club America with Christian Paredes, so that's cool. I don't think we did our preseason result that mattered, kind of. Didn't they play this weekend? I know Atlanta beat Birmingham.
Doyle's out here watching preseason.
I got to tell you, I was hanging shelves and playing trains.
Doyle's putting up clips of FC Dallas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Jesus Ferreira scored a crazy goal.
That was middle of last week.
This guy doesn't pay attention.
Yeah.
That was like Friday, I thought.
No, I don't think it was Friday.
Whatever. All right.
Do you have a preseason result?
It matters? Kind
of. I don't think any of them matter.
Okay. Not sure.
Yes.
Oh, Nashville got their first preseason win. Cool.
Nice.
Here's one that matters. So far in preseason, Derek Jones, who you might he was a part of that great US U20 team in 2017. He was Tyler Adams' central midfield partner. Actually played a little bit more defensively than Adams for a lot of it. he's been playing as a number 10 for Gary Smith in Nashville. So it's Godoy and Dax deep lying, Derek Jones in front of him, kind of as a playmaker.
So my instinct is that there isn't a number 10 in this sense, and it's like close to three D-mids.
Yeah.
Okay. Nacho Piatti drama continues. The other Piatti, the more important to league history Piatti, radio report in Argentina says, Nicolas Fernandez, the young striker at San Lorenzo, no quiere ir a Montreal. So we'll see what happens.
I'm up to 250 days on Duolingo, nice. So I could read that.
Nice. Still waiting on Rodolfo Pizarro and Inter Miami as well. He like got hit by a swarm of journalists in the airport as he rejoined Monterrey.
He
and
was bobbing and weaving.
Yeah, he was. He was like seemed like he was having a good time with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still nothing done on that one. And Nashville report they have sold 30,000 tickets for that opening match against Atlanta United at Nissan Stadium.
One more update from Miami. Local media there, Michelle Kaufman, reporting that Julian Carranza, center forward they signed from Argentina, out 10 to 12 weeks with a foot injury, left foot injury. He injured at end of January, so that puts his return probably
you tell
early
us. Yeah,
April.
What do you think? Someone with foot injuries.
Hey, man, I went to the gym twice this weekend, so took me a month. I'm already back
so
at it.
So you might have Robinson from the Super Draft, Kiesewetter, I don't know, Juan Agudelo. Here we go. Nashville sold a bunch of tickets, and we also chatted with Randall Leal in L.A. Really good guy, really excited to get his career in Major League Soccer started, and also extremely jacked for that first game at Nissan Stadium. Take a listen. We'll be back with a mailbag. Ten minutes with Randall Leal of Nashville SC. Randall, thank you. We're going to try doing this in English, and if we don't, I'll try to do it in Spanish. Does that work for you?
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I will try to.
So welcome to Major League Soccer. Happy to have you. You are one of so many Costa Ricans that has made a home in this league and had a ton of success, and we hope for that for you as well. What did you know about Major League Soccer? Why was this the right move for you in your career?
Yeah, I have some teammates that play here, so I try to talk with them about MLS, and they say that it's a very good league, you know. Sometimes some people try to menospreciate it, you know, but the MLS increase, you know, mm-hmm. a lot, you know. So for a Costa Rican player, it's a good jump to stay here with Nashville.
Which teammates did you talk to?
Kendall Waston, Alan Cruz. I talked to Roy Miller. He was here.
Yeah.
So they are experienced players, and they give me a lot of very good advice.
How much have you watched the league in the past? I mean, so many of those guys
not,
have...
Not too much.
Not too much? No. What did they tell you? What do you expect?
They say that it's a very good lead to improve myself, you know, to do my best for another good job, you know. Here to European is what I want, so I will try to keep working for Nashville and try to do my best for them.
What type of player are you? Describe how you play, your style.
I'm faster guy. So I like to keep all the time the ball. You know, I know scared about the, you know, in the bad moment. I like to keep the ball, to try to do something for the team. You know, always I try to help the team when they need me. So, yeah.
When Nashville came and said, hey, we would like to sign you, what did you think? It's a brand new team. This is the start for them. They've had a couple of years in USL, but in MLS, it's their first year.
Yeah.
Is that a special opportunity?
I want to give back the confidence, you know. You know, for me, it's, like you say, it's a new team. I want to give the confidence back and try to do it well for them, you know. And to surprise to other teams, you know, because like Cincinnati last year, I saw them they don't play like good, so I think Nashville want to do the best for this league, and also just don't participate, you know, try to make goals and win the playoff.
What players do you look up to? Which players, as you grew up, did you watch and say, I want to be like them, or Costa Ricans or otherwise?
No. Always I try to look myself. I try to do myself. I try to always listen, you know, listen to the other people, what I can improve in myself. So always I look myself.
What are you looking at right now when you look at yourself? What can you improve? What can you work on to get where you want to go?
A lot. My body, you know, here is a different like in Costa Rica. You know, the defense are big. You know, stronger. So this is what we have to work.
Get in the gym. Hit the weights.
Yeah.
What do you expect for that first game? Atlanta, Nashville, in Nashville, the first MLS game in the history of the club.
We expect to win. We have to send a message to the other teams, and we can play against them with a scare.
Costa Rica, the national team. Where does it stand right now for you?
I just want to stay there. You know, the national team now is a new generation. You know, a lot of new players. So I want to stay always in the national team, to play against other countries. You know, is a very good for the players, the experience that you have. So this is what I want.
What's the most special moment for you during your time with the national team?
When I make my debut, yeah.
What would that feel like?
Great, you know, for my family, because it was too difficult in the beginning for my family. So when I made the debut with my country was a special moment.
What was difficult for your family?
Because in the past we don't have nothing, you know, and now we have other things, you know, than my little brother has 8 years. He don't have to do, you know. In my past, we was poor, you know, mm-hmm. And now we have teams, so we have to thanks to God, you know, for this.
How do you feel when you're able to help your brother, your family like that? I mean, it has to be something that you're immensely proud of.
I don't need nothing, you know. I just need my family. Then my family feel good, so for this is the best.
Is anyone coming with you to Nashville?
Yes, I want my family comes for the first game.
Anybody going to live with you? Are you going to bring somebody along with you to keep you company? Or
No, just my girlfriend, my parents, my little brother.
Have you been to Nashville yet?
No. They come 25th of February.
What do you think? What do you expect when you think about Nashville and the life that you're about to have? What do you hope for?
Well, special. I want to make a special. I want to make I want to make history in Nashville, you know. I want to do it well, and also for my family. I think will be a special the first game, because my family will be here for Nashville, the first game, the MLS, so it will be great.
What a special moment, man. Congratulations. Before we let you go, the Purple Monster, I have to ask you about Saprissa. What's it like to be in that club, to be in what is the Gigante de Football in Costa Rica?
Yes, Saprissa was the biggest team in Costa Rica, so it's a lot of pressure in Costa Rica. So when we come to Nashville, I want to do it better than Saprissa.
How do you feel that pressure at Saprissa? Where's the pressure come from?
Because the supporters, the staff, a lot of pressure. They have to win always, you know. So this mentality, want to do it here in Nashville. I want to do the same.
We hope you do it, man. Good luck. It's great to meet you.
Easy to root for Randall Leal. We'll see what happens for Nashville. What?
Speaking of Randall Leal.
Oh, okay.
There was the Costa Rica Derby versus Alajuelense Saprissa yesterday. Christian Bolaños with the goal. And I would recommend anyone out there who likes soccer to go watch the highlights of this one because it was just one of those where it was like every 5 minutes it got crazier and crazier, including some wild stuff up in the stands as well.
And
the Purple Monster was awake.
Yes. Let's yes, it was. We're into the mailbag here. We don't have mail on this, but I've wanted to talk about it for a while, and this weekend in Europe was a good segue for it. Alphonso Davies versus Tyler Adams in the Bundesliga. That was awesome. Serginho Dest now linked with Bayern, reportedly, for like $20 million.
Went to their game midweek.
Huh? Oh, he did?
Yeah, he apparently was like in the stands watching the game, put it up on Instagram, which is like, kind of a good way of letting the people at Ajax know you're interested.
Yes. Yes. That's the new, you know, that's the new transfer window. Like, it doesn't come from journalists. There's no reports anymore. Yeah. Just Instagram stories.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, we didn't talk about that Gio Reyna goal.
Yeah, we did.
Did we? Not enough.
Okay. That's
fire. NYCFC Academy product. I mean, that's, you know, he was good before all that happened. But it helped. Can he get himself into a lineup for Greg Berhalter?
So
is it possible?
When Berhalter was first hired in late 2018, he came here. And I remember him talking about building out the roster over the next couple of years. And one of the, like, saying, like, look, we have a lot of great young players coming through. And one of those young players he specifically mentioned was Gio Reyna. He said, like, I wish he was a couple years older.
He did. I remember him saying that. Yeah.
So the, like, and he's playing for Dortmund. I don't think he played particularly well this weekend. And he still, I still struggle with him as a player because he takes too many touches. And I think he breaks the rhythm of his team. And it drives me nuts. But he's playing for Dortmund. And Greg Berhalter has already name checked him. At the very least, he's in the picture for the U23s. It wouldn't shock me at all if he didn't play at all with the U20s, who also have World Cup qualifying this summer.
He's going to be 17 until November.
Yes.
He is a very much a teenager.
He has to be on a roster, if you're calling it a roster for the U.S. For, I guess the next thing is nation. You have friendlies in Europe, which is normally a time to call guys like that because they don't have to travel as far. And then you've got those Nations League semifinals into the final, which gives you like a nice little stretch to work with the team. This has to be a guy who's already, I mean, he came in at halftime against Leverkusen on Saturday.
Amazing game, by the way.
Absurd. Ahead of Mario Götze and Thorgan Hazard. Like, he came on, it wasn't like, oh, 85th minute,
this
we just need to throw a body on. It's like, Brandt goes down, and this is the guy that they turn to for the next 45 minutes. Now, he pulled a guy down behind the play and got a goal reversed.
I didn't mind that, actually.
Because
I mean, like, getting the goal reversed is bad, but like the idea that I'm absolutely not going to let anyone kind of mess with me off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, he has to do a better job of disguising it next time, but I don't mind that attitude at all.
Yeah, he's special. And you could see the way he does link up, that, like, there's respect there. Like, the guys who are veterans in that group, quick to get him the ball, play through him. Now, I would agree he holds it a little long, and sometimes the second he gets it, his head goes down to the guy rather than what you see with Sancho, which is his head stays up, and when he goes to beat his guy, if he finds a quick pass, he'll play it off early. Reyna kind of puts his head down, but
there's been a lot coming out of Dortmund about how he's a Pulisic level prospect or even better.
More is what they've been saying.
Yeah, I don't see that, and maybe I'll be wrong, but Pulisic's off the ball movement, especially, was much more purposeful than what I've seen from Reyna at this point.
17, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Give him a round of applause.
No, I mean, Pulisic at 17.
But that's part of being a prospect at this level, is that people are going to dissect you. And what better to get your head up and change the way you play than being in a club like Dortmund, where there is an expectation, but also encouragement for you, an opportunity given. Keep seizing it, Gio. Keep seizing it, man. We've got the World Cup qualifying coming and a World Cup, too. So Hoboken Billy, this is the friend of the pod, says on the last CBA podcast that 6 minutes and 4 seconds, he's really out here like taking notes. Andrew says 1.2 million in TAM that every team got previously. Now it's GAM. That's where some of this flexibility comes in. The players wanted that. And I think everything that happened here, both sides agreed to. Now Doyle interjected. Do we want to expand on that? You said, and then I gave you the go-ahead, and then Goss, shouting down from his ivory tower, interrupted. No, he's running through it, and we're going to get to it. Well, we didn't get to it. So,
you guys are chaos.
Hoboken Billy says, could you please use Monday's mailbag to explain a bit more about TAM and GAM and what the transition means? I encourage you to use a practical example so that fans who are less avid can wrap their heads around this roster mechanism development. And don't tell me to go read about it on The Athletic. I don't subscribe, says Hoboken Billy.
Go ahead, David.
What's the question?
Oh, my God. You were so busy.
So currently,
literally interrupted Weeby twice during that thing.
So currently you have... Stop. Please don't interrupt me, Andrew. Thank you. Currently, you have your salary cap money, which is money that you have to spend on players. On top of that, you have general allocation money, which helps you buy down whether a TAM player below TAM or a player in any way. You can use it however you want.
What do you mean by buy down?
To bring a player below a maximum budget charge, which then allows them to not, you don't have to use TAM on them.
That was what TAM was for. You could also use GAM for that. Basically, it's to lessen the amount of money that hits a salary cap.
Yeah. And now you have, and then currently you have a huge pool of TAM to do that.
Previously,
as of 4 days ago.
Correct.
Some of it is given to teams automatically. Some of it is discretionary, which
means
a team can choose to add more.
1.2 each team got. They had to use that money. Then they had 2.8 in discretionary TAM, which they could choose to use if they so desired. Now, TAM is entirely discretionary, and it will reduce over the course of this CBA agreement.
What happened to that 1.2?
It turned into GAM, which is now also mandatory spending. It's now that flexibility is, instead of only being able to spend that 1.2 million on TAM players
who are above the maximum budget charge, which is currently 619,000.
Yes, you can now spend that 1.2 anywhere. So you might have a homegrown that's making whatever and you want to get them down. You probably won't use it that way. You might have, let's say, more like it's a veteran center back who makes $375,000. You're like, you know what? We actually need to drop them down to 200 to get into the salary cap because we're going to use discretionary TAM on our TAM players. So now it's logical that we would move this GAM into more of the senior roster that wasn't previously eligible for TAM.
It sounds like a lot, but it really does simplify things because it just makes it three buckets now, and it gives the GMs, I think, more flexibility to build their rosters the way they want to build them. And TAM, at this point, TAM is now completely discretionary. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and the big thing for the players, in particular domestic players, American, Canadian players, is now they are eligible to sort of be in this pool of GAM where they could be bought down, or they could even be TAM players and bought down with that. As in the past, they weren't, and often the league office would have to approve or did have to approve who was a TAM player. So hopefully that makes more sense.
Thank you to Billy, and I hope you'll write in more, you'll send us more emails for when David interrupts us when we're trying to explain really important stuff.
You guys
here's
are
one,
chaos.
Dave. Here, you know what?
Chaos.
Bring the heat on this one, Dave. Mike, not from Canmore. I don't know what that means. Oh, dear God, can the new Montreal Impact secondary jerseys be any more boring?
Is that the gray one?
Yes.
No, that jersey's dope.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, like a clean, simple kit. You said pitch before, so now I'm joining you on that. That's all I have to say. I'm currently wearing a Colorado Rapids jersey.
Nelson, home city of Newark, the Ironbound, New Jersey, and now lives in Connecticut. I've been listening to your show for the last 3 years, and I want to let you guys know that I love the show. Yes. Start with a compliment. That'll get you on. A lot of NYCFC fans are not pleased with the latest news revealed that we have to play the CCL home match against San Carlos at RBA. I say, great for us. I'm probably one of the few fans that are okay with that. My question is, why can't we share RBA for the whole season and probably more? At least until NYCFC gets a true soccer-specific stadium to call home, which you may have seen that the New York Times
this
is reporting could happen.
This doesn't sound like a real an email from an NYCFC fan. This sounds like it comes from a Red Bull fan.
It continues, as a perfect example, the San Siro in Italy is home to two of the biggest teams in Italy and one of the most famous rivalries in soccer, AC Milan and Inter Milan. Of course, RBA can be nicknamed as the New York San Siro, and then RBA provides the right and authentic soccer atmosphere. I would definitely love to see it, he says. What do you think?
So the one thing I would say about Milan is neither of the teams owns the stadium and has the other as a tenant. That would be the difference.
That would be one
of the major differences.
Now, NYCFC supporters groups, after this news came out that indeed they would be playing their CCL game at Red Bull Arena, came out and said, we're frustrated, we don't like this. It's pretty juicy, this, between these two fan bases. I like it. And honestly, I don't really have a problem with it happening. Like, you had to play somewhere. You looked for alternatives. It didn't work out. This is where you go. Go win a game in your opponent's stadium. I know you have to pay them something to play there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, so you're paying the Yankees something to play at Yankee Stadium. It's not your rival, necessarily, but it's not yours. Not yet, anyway, unless you get yours built in the Bronx, which, again, the New York Times is reporting that they're closing in on. I guess I don't know
when
why
that report came out.
Yeah, same day as
so timely.
Yeah, the confirmation they play CCL there. I don't know. Let us know what you think. Red Bulls fans, NYCFC. We're going to get out of here. 401-206-0MLS. Extra time at MLSsoccer.com. We'll be back on Thursday. And then Monday is the CCL preview. And then, because Dave so desired, Western Conference preview, Eastern Conference preview after that, the prediction show with Sam Stachkol, the bird dog.
Shake things
and then
up.
The season starts. We're almost there, everybody. Enjoy your week. We'll be right back.